This is Dr. Jonathan Hansen. I'm the president of World Ministries International, as well as Eagles Saving Nations. My website, worldministries.org. That's worldministries.org. Please check it out. See what we do around the world. World Ministries International is apostolic, prophetic. I meet with governments. God gives a word. We send it. Comes to pass. They invite us. And then God speaks further, whether it's in the parliament or privately. But then we also, Eagle Saving Nations, we're trying to get into the stadiums of every nation on earth. As you know, they're trying to topple every nation. The economies they're trying to crash, open borders. They're trying to create this new world order, this one world government. They're trying to bring tyranny, to control every person on earth. They're trying to mark every person. And so I was just in Bogota, Colombia, South America. I was there for a four-day conference that I led, 150 churches, apostles, and then I met with the Israeli ambassador to Bogota the next day. But and even he realized what is going on. They are trying to topple the nations right now as we speak. I was in Bogota, Colombia, 5 years ago. I spoke to 23,000 apostles. I prophesied over them. I warned what would happen if the church didn't arise, that they would lose their freedoms. They would have a communist government. The economy would crash. Crime would skyrocket. And that's exactly what happened. The church did not arise. They listened to the warnings like they're listening to the warnings in America. I'm not seeing a national repentance. I'm not seeing the church arise. I'm seeing they just, same old, they just listen and continue with their daily lives. But as soon as I got off the plane, they said, Dr. Hansen, we remembered what you prophesied. It has come to pass. We have a communist government, a communist president. The economy has crashed. Skyrocket crime is out of control. My driver was mugged just 20 days before I arrived. And we had 4 days of tremendous meetings. I spoke on the government of God and the power of the Holy Ghost to turn a nation around. And how the church had to arise. Prayer was not going to stop it. You cannot just think God is going to intervene in your nation and do your job. Pray for yourself that you can do the will of God. The Bible said, go tarry, go wait, go be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then go do what I did and represent me, represent God, be our ambassador. And we have to do our job. And if we don't do our job, you can pray till you're arrested. We need to pray, but we need to do our job. Pray for yourself that you can do the will of God and you can tear down strongholds, but we need to do our job. We need to be ambassadors. We need to not try to twist the scriptures around and think we can just ask God to do our job. It doesn't work. I have with me Apostle Dennis Moore. He's with me, coming from Texas, Dallas, Texas. Dennis, welcome back to the Warning Program.
Thank you, sir. It's great to be with you.
Well, it's always good being with you, Dennis. I just did a program with a leader in Uganda that you knew very well, and we talked on the responsibilities of the church. I also teased him a little bit. I said, you know, Dennis is going to take you fishing tomorrow. And I said, he hasn't taken me fishing in all the years I've known him.
Well, we're going to have to rectify that.
I think you are, now that I put you
I have all the gear for you. Don't bring your pole. Don't bring your equipment. I've got everything.
Well, that's what I need, Dennis. I need somebody that has it all. On a side note, Dennis also has a nice little BMW sports car. And let me tell you, I won't tell you Dennis's age, but he can drive that thing like a teenager. Dennis?
Well, you're giving away all my secrets.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons we like to spend time with you.
I always tell my son, I say, I only go fast up to the speed limit.
Okay, praise the Lord. Well, Dennis, I know that you and I, we have a lot in common because we both love the Bride of Christ so much. We like to move with the anointing of God. We like to move with Pentecost. I always say that, you know, I bring revival. I move in revival. Revival's in me. And so people want to pray for revival. Well, revival's in me. We can have revival any day we want it if we draw nigh unto God. And we need to move with revival. We need to move with Pentecost. We need to constantly, daily, we filled with the Holy Ghost. Dennis?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you're so absolutely correct because we are called to bring the kingdom wherever we go. It's all about being instant, in season, out of season. I think one of the great challenges for the church is sometimes we feel like we're anointed, and sometimes we just feel really not like we're anointed. But scripturally, we're called to stay the course. We're called to stay in prayer. We're called to stay close to the Lord. And you know, my daily practice is, God, transform me into your image. Change me into your image. Let me carry your word. Let me carry your spirit. Let me carry your message. Let me be, like you said, you know, the carrier of revival. Let us be those revival fire people.
Amen. I believe that with my whole heart, that the body of Christ is supposed to move with Pentecost, move with revival. And that's the problem, Dennis, is the body of Christ is not moving with Pentecost. I mean, half the churches in America, they're under, as we've said it before, the Federal Council of Churches. That's a communist covering, mainline churches that deny the power of God. They deny sin. They back abortion, homosexuality. They don't know what the power of God is. They deny the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus said it so clearly, don't even try to go into ministry without it. He told his disciples and others, hey, don't go out until you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need my power within you to represent me. You can't do it on your own. And yet, half of the churches and their pastors, filled with vanity, are trying to do it on their own. You know, I believe, Dennis, they are grieving the Holy Spirit.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I was talking to a young man who's studying to become a pastor, and he was telling me that I believe the gifts have passed away. I believe the power gifts have passed away. And I said, well, let's say we went to Pakistan and you preached a great message, 100,000 people, and a couple of thousand people come forward and receive Christ. That'd be a pretty exciting experience, wouldn't it? And he said, yeah, it would be. I said, well, what if we were to be in that same place and we begin to minister in the power of the Spirit, and blind eyes begin to open, crippled people begin to walk, arms begin to grow out, signs, wonders, and miracles. I said, how many people do you think would get saved? And I said, it's going to be in the tens of thousands, not the hundreds. And it's so critical for us to work with the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, I didn't come to you with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but by the power and demonstration of the Spirit.
Well, you know, Jesus said, go tarry. Go tarry until you're filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then he said, you will be able to cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead, confront evil. Yet, people aren't doing it. And we are not seeing people healed, demons screaming to come out, the dead being raised. We are not seeing power and authority. We're not seeing evil being confronted, because to confront evil, you need to have the power of God in you to overcome fear and intimidation. And so consequently, the church, especially in America, is becoming as evil and corrupt as our government. Dennis?
Well, it's a sad story. I was talking to another gentleman a while back, and he was a corporate, I believe he was a CEO, I don't remember exactly, but involved in the corporate world. And we were talking back and forth on an airplane. And I said, you know what the problem with America is? And he looked at me kind of funny. I said, we don't fear God. And he said, you're so right. You are so right. And he was stunned, because he woke up to the fact that we are not a God-fearing nation, and yet we ought to be absolutely aware of the God that we serve, an all-consuming fire, a God of immeasurable love, immeasurable mercy, immeasurable compassion, and yet we are held accountable unless we receive him and receive the gift of eternal life, because of his great sacrifice on the cross, taking our place and becoming that living sacrifice that took up all of our sins. And it's through that receiving of him that we become transformed, and then being baptized in the Spirit, we receive power, as God told his disciples, wait until the Holy Spirit comes and you receive power. Then be witnesses into all the earth. And so we have a great commission. We have a great calling. And we have a great God, but we sometimes take for granted that which we have. And it's so critical for the church, like you're saying, for the church to wake up and say, man, we really need to put the kingdom first. It says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness.
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, the four, if we want to say R's or vision of the church, one is restoration of the church. I believe we need to restore the church to the mission and method of the way Jesus and the apostles led it. We are not doing that for the majority of the churches in America today. To restore the church to the mission and method of the way Jesus and the apostles led it. I mean, that's a church that's powerful, that's anointed, that casts out demons, that heals the sick. But that's what we need to do, Dennis.
You know, you're absolutely right. And just like I was sharing with this young man who's studying to be in the ministry, once I talked to him about the example of, let's say we were in Pakistan and we have a good word, but we're going to see much more results if we demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit. And he looked at me and said, you know, my mind's not made up. He was really beginning to rethink his theology, because a powerful church is a church that moves in power with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come through our wisdom. Thank God, you know, God gives us insight, understanding. Yes, we do need to be wise in sharing the gospel. I'm not saying we're not to be wise, but what I'm saying is the ultimate sign that God cares and he loves and he has compassion, he has mercy. An ultimate sign is when he begins to move, when he begins to demonstrate, and when he begins to reveal himself.
Very good. You know, the second R, reconciliation between ethnic leaders and churches. I mean, this is so clear all over the world. I mean, the church is divided by tribal lines, so to speak. You could take countries in Africa, tribalism rules, and they'll vote for their tribe member no matter if they know he's a witch doctor, if he's a notorious killer. They don't seem to care. It's tribe over gospel. In America, it's more racism, so to speak. I mean, we'll vote for the color of skin sometimes, not always. I mean, but we have to, again, reconcile between ethnic leaders and churches. Forget the color of skin. Forget the tribe. Forget the race. Vote for the best person that represents Jesus.
Oh, yeah. And that's, you know, I agree 100%. And, you know, I'm amazed sometimes when I talk to people and I say, who are you voting for? And they'll say, well, I'm voting for this individual. And that individual will be somebody who you know is supporting things that are against the Word of God. They may be supporting abortions. They may be supporting all kinds of stuff. And we as believers, it's critical for us to look at what a person believes more than what he says. What is he actually going to do once he gets into office? What is his actual purpose? And by all means, you know, let's be cognitive of the people who are believers who have the true kingdom, the true values of God in them, and we want to support them. My wife and I, we go to meetings here in Dallas. We meet with some of the people running for governor. We meet people running for the Senate. We meet all kinds of people. They're involved in the political world. And every time we meet with them, we say, can we pray for you? And I've never had one not say, oh, I want you to pray for me. They all respond, yes, please pray for me. And then often, if I feel directed, I'll say, well, can I send you follow-up messages as the Lord gives them to me for you? And they all say yes. And there's, you know, godly people want godly help. They want encouragement. They want to know that godly leadership in the church is standing with them and behind them. We worked in D.C., as you know, Dr. Hansen, many, many years. And I can't tell you how many times leaders in D.C. said, pray for me. Pray for me. Every time we got around them, oh, pray for me. Pray for my family. Pray for me. Pray for what we're doing. Pray for what we're dealing with. And then, you know, one of my friends went to me one day, said, you know, I talked to a lot of the leaders in D.C., and they're amazed. They ask, why don't more pastors come and support us? Why don't more come and pray for us? Why don't more pastors become, and come and encourage us. He said to these leaders in D.C., these congressmen and senators, he said, they're afraid of you. Now, there's no reason for us as men and women of God to be afraid of our leaders. We need to be bold. We need to be honest. We need to be truthful. And we need to share with them our encouragement, our love, our prayers, our support.
I totally agree. It's our responsibility. Either we rule, the Bible says, either the righteous rule, occupy, rule, reign, take dominion, be salt, or they rule. If we rule, there's prosperity. If they rule, there's poverty. If we rule, there's justice. If they rule, there's tyranny. Dennis?
Well, you put it very, very clear, and that's a clear word, and it's absolutely correct. And so, you know, we have to be the salt. We have to be the salt and the light, and we have to make our voices known. My daughter-in-law just got back from D.C. They spent several days praying with senators, praying with people in Congress, praying over the Supreme Court, you know, spending time, investing their money. And like you were saying, you know, you've got to be feet on the ground. You've got to be activated. You've got to have just not just faith, but faith with works, because faith without works is dead. And so when we're, like you said, you know, when we're praying, praise God, we want to pray. We want to spend those long periods of time with the Lord. We want to hear his heart. We want to hear his heart cry. We want to agree with him. But then we want to, like you say, be activated and be in the community and be, you know, supporting those people who are really laying down their lives to help our nation. We have a lot of people, praise God, in our nation. They're still seeking to do God's work. They're Amen. Still seeking to bring truth and revival and healing and wholeness to our nation. And so I would encourage anyone, you know, that here's your message, to say, Lord, here am I. What do you want me to do? Here am I. Send me. I'm ready to go. I'll go and knock on the door. I'll go and encourage somebody. I'll go and to D.C. and pray for my senators and pray for my congressmen. God wants to do more through your life than you can imagine. And before the foundations of the earth, he had appointed you to do the works that he wants you to do.
And it is our responsibility. That is the Great Commission, that we need to disciple our nation, go make disciples of the nations around the world. So we have that responsibility. We're supposed to, three, revive the church to expand kingdom influence. You know, God told Samuel when they rejected him, he said, hey, Samuel, they did not reject you. They rejected me to have king. So, I mean, people put leaders in the government, not God. God did not put Lenin. He did not put Stalin. He did not put Mussolini. He did not put Hitler. He did not put Caesar. He did not put Biden. People put them in. And so that's what God said very clearly. They rejected me, not you. And so people aren't looking to God and putting in righteous leaders. They're not reviving the church to expand kingdom influence. They're not ruling, reigning, occupying, being salt. We have turned it over to evil men, and we are suffering from those choices of rejecting God. Dennis?
Well, you're correct, and sad to say that we have rejected the Lord as a nation. And that's one of my greatest prayers is, God, help us to restore you as the father of our nation. Help us to once again see you as our father, to see you as the one who is loving us, caring for us, pouring out your life for us. We're in a battle. That's the bottom line. We're in a battle. This is a time of war. And we need to hear the sounds of heaven. We need to hear the sounds of the battle cry, because there is a battle cry, there is a trumpet blasting in the spirit, and we need to be able to hear those sounds, and we need to be able to agree with God, because God wants to use every single believer. I've had people come to me over all the years I've been going around the different nations around the world, and I have people come to me and they say, could God ever use me? And I say, do you love people? Oh, I love people. You're totally qualified. If you can love people, if you can care for people, we've got all kinds of people. I have one young man came to me one time. He said, I just like to do something for God. I said, okay, how about you working at our school in Uganda? And so he went. And for about 8 months, he worked in our school. And the kids fell in love with him. He was a musician. He was just full of energy and life and love for the kids. And he became like a little fire in the midst of our school. And God used him. And he came back and he was so blown away by how God used him. But I just want to encourage people, step out, ask God to show you where the door is, go through the door. There's so many hurting people in the world today. And there's so many people that are waiting for someone to come and share God's love and share God's word with them. And be one of those. Be one of those who says, Lord, I'm willing to step out of my comfort zone. I'm willing to step out of my limitations. And I'm willing you to step into a greater dimension of you and your love and who you are. And I want to touch people with your love and your word.
Very good. The fourth R, again, the fourth R vision, reformation of society and the discipling of nations. Reformation of society. We're supposed to change society. They're not supposed to change us. When they're changing the church into alternate lifestyles and sins of abomination, then we are failing. It's like Adam failed to cast Satan out of the garden and Eve was deceived. The church is failing in America, and it seems like society is reforming the church instead of the other way around. Dennis?
Well, you know, it's sad to say there's a lot of truth in that, but when you're in the presence of God, and I'll tell you, there's nothing like spending quality time with Him. And Jesus gave us the perfect example. It says he went and he prayed all night. He went and he spent time with the Father. He just kept pressing in. Even though he had this tremendous workload of ministering to the nation, and yet he continued to press in. He continued to find the heart cry of God. And the church needs to have that heart cry. You know, the Bible says in Revelation, the Spirit and the Lord says, come. Well, you know, the Spirit is crying out, Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. But are we crying out, come, Lord Jesus? And there needs to be a cry inside of us that says, Lord, we have to have you. You know, I think someone told me the other day, they said, you know, you don't see the miracles that we see in our country. And I said, why is that? Why do you think you see miracles that we don't see? He says, because we're more desperate. We're desperate for God. We press into God. We have to depend on the Lord. We can't go see the doctor. We don't have the money. We can't go and get the medication. We have to wait on the Lord. We have to press in. And so we see a lot more miracles than you see. We see a lot more signs and wonders than you see. I think we as a church need to become desperate. We need to become eternity focused, not temporal focused. We need to become so desperate that we can't live without Him. We can't exist without Him. We can't take our next breath without Him. We have to be desperate for Him, and we have to be desperate for God to move. You know, if we as American believers, if we will cry out for our universities. We're just beginning to see a move of God's Spirit in Alabama, another move of God's Spirit in Florida. I'm hearing about a move of God's Spirit here in Texas at A&M. And we want to pour gasoline on the fire. If there's a little fire, then Dr. Hansen, let's pour some gas on it. Let's pour the fuel on it. Let's cry out. Let's cry out for the heavens to open and for the glory to come down.
I agree. We want to pour the Holy Ghost on them. That's the gasoline we want to pour is the Holy Ghost. I know. Amen. That since April 2020, 25 dreams, civil unrest, civil war, and an invasion. That's what I've got. 25 dreams since April 2020. Civil unrest, we've seen it. Antifa, BLM, Hamas protest, civil war, We are on the verge of it, right on the verge of real bullets. That's what I'm being told. We are on the verge of it. We are so divided, and there's so many states coming against the federal government, especially in trying to stop this illegal invasion. They know it's nothing but crime. It's nothing but to take over America and retain power. They know it's to topple our values and beliefs. And an invasion, well, 10 to 15 million people, I think that's classified as an invasion. And so we are on the verge. You said, why are these countries seeing miracles? Because they're in desperate need. Yes, I hope we don't have blood to flow before we get desperate. I know in Bogota, they're desperate now. Now I have a board of advisors, apostles for Eagle Saving Nations, because they're desperate. Because everything I said came to pass 5 years ago. They got their communist government. They're desperate. And I prophesied, if we don't change it now, they're going to reinforce communism and you'll never get your freedom back. They're desperate, Dennis. Do we have to see blood flow to get that desperate? We can say no, and we know technically it's no, but I don't know, Dennis. I think we're going to see a lot of death before we get desperate. Dennis?
Well, that's a hard reality, and it's not easy to contemplate. But, you know, honestly, I think those of us who are aware of what's going on, we know that we're at that point. We know that we're in a desperate point. You know, I can think of so many instances throughout history where God intervened, where it was a desperate time. Even when the British came in and they took over the White House and D.C. was taken over by the British, a massive storm came in and it so disrupted the British that they left. And there was a deliverance. God brought a deliverance. God is able to bring us deliverance.
Amen.
He's able to spare us. And, you know, I think when you have a prophetic word like you just gave, I think that word is a call to prayer. It's a call to action. It's also a call to prayer. It's a call to repentance.
We need to pray. We're out of time. We need to repent. People stood in the gap, but without repentance, judgment fell anyway, and they all went into slavery. Eagle Saving Nations, worldministries.org, worldministries.org, worldministries.org. Join us today. We need a national repentance, and only the church can usher it in. God bless you.